It's Jeff Farley at the Otisville Mount Hope Presbyterian Church on our weekly podcast, Today's Word. We've been talking about peace, and today we're taking risks. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 2 to 35. Nabal was a very rich man who lived in Maon. He owned 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, which he kept at Carmel. His wife, Abigail, was sensible and beautiful, but he was from the Caleb clan and was rough and mean. One day Nabal was in Carmel where his servants were cutting the wool from his sheep. David was in the desert when he heard about it. So he sent 10 men to Carmel with this message for Nabal. I hope that you and your family are healthy and that all is going well for you. I've heard that you are cutting the wool from your sheep. When your shepherds were here with us in Carmel, we didn't harm them and nothing was ever stolen from them. Ask your shepherds and they'll tell you the same thing. My servants are your servants, and you are like a father to me. This is a day for celebrating, so please be kind and share some of your food with us. David's men went to Nabal and gave him David's message. Then they waited for Nabal's answer. This is what he said. Who does this David think he is? That son of Jesse is just one more slave on the run from his master, and there are too many of them these days. What makes you think I would take my bread, my water, and the meat that I've cooked for my own servants and give it to you? Besides, I'm not sure that David sent you. The men returned to their camp and told David everything Nabal had said. Everyone get your swords, David ordered. They all strapped on their swords. 200 men stayed behind to guard the camp, but the other 400 followed David. Meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants told Abigail, David's men were often nearby while we were taking care of the sheep in the fields. They were very good to us, and they never hurt us, and nothing was ever stolen from us while they were nearby. With them around day and night, we were as safe as we would have been inside a walled city. David sent some messengers from the desert to wish our master well, but he shouted insults at them. He's a bully who won't listen to anyone. Isn't there something you can do? Please think of something, or else our master and his family and everyone who works for him are all doomed. Abigail quickly got together 200 loaves of bread, two large clay jars of wine, the meat from 5 sheep, a large sack of roasted grain, 500 handfuls of raisins, 200 handfuls of dried figs, and she loaded all the food on donkeys and told her servants, take this on ahead and I'll catch up with you. She didn't tell her husband Nabal what she was doing. Abigail was riding her donkey on the path that led around the hillside when suddenly she met David and his men heading straight at her. David had just been saying, I sure wasted my time guarding Nabal's things in the desert and keeping them from being stolen. I was good to him and now he pays me back with insults. I swear that by morning there won't be a man or boy left from his family or his servants' families. I pray that God will punish me if I don't do it. Abigail quickly got off her donkey and bowed down in front of David. Then she said, sir, please let me explain. Don't pay any attention to that good-for-nothing Nabal. His name means fool, and it really fits him. I didn't see the men you sent, but please take this gift of food that I brought and share it with your followers. The Lord has kept you from taking revenge and from killing innocent people. But I hope your enemies and anyone else who wants to harm you will end up like Nabal. I swear this by the living Lord and by your life. Please forgive me if I say a little more. The Lord will always protect you and your family because you fight for him. I pray that you won't ever do anything evil as long as you live. The Lord your God will keep you safe when your enemies try to kill you, but he will snatch away their lives quicker than you can throw a rock from a sling. The Lord has promised to do many things for you, even to make you the ruler of Israel. The Lord will keep his promises to you, and now your conscience will be clear because you won't be guilty of taking revenge and killing innocent people. When the Lord does all those good things for you, please remember me. David told her, I praise the Lord God of Israel. He must have sent you to meet me today. And you should also be praised. Your good sense kept me from taking revenge and killing innocent people. If you hadn't come to meet me so quickly, every man and boy in Nabal's family and in his servants' families would have been killed by morning. I swear by the living Lord God of Israel, who protected you, that this is the truth. David accepted the food Abigail brought. Don't worry, he said. You can go home now. I'll do what you asked. So if you've ever been afraid, not sure whether it was worth it to step up and say something to make a difference, if you were a follower of Jesus, taking risks is who we are. Consider this lesson. Sometimes we read stories in the Bible and we say, what the heck? And this is one of those times. It reads a bit like a movie script, maybe ready for an epic movie presentation. David, the future king of Israel, is running from the current king, Saul. While hiding away, he does one of the local tribe leaders a good deed by protecting his flocks and shepherds from all threats, including raiders who would steal the animals and potentially kill the workers. But when David and his troops run out of food, the local wealthy leader makes clear he has no intentions of reciprocating David's gracious gesture of protection. David and his disagreement with Saul is of no interest to Nabal. In fact, David and his troops are of no interest, period. So when David asks for food, Nabal not only says no, but he does it with attitude. And David, one of the Old Testament characters we might imagine we are to look up to, decides to do what to us seems horrible. He will punish Nabal for his refusal of food with a slaughter that could come right out of the Game of Thrones or the Lord of the Rings. For his disrespect of God's anointed, David decides the punishment will be the destruction of his family on an epic level. All males, not only Nabal and his family, but all male servants and slaves, none will be spared. It's so ugly and terrible that it makes the mind recoil at the thought. Revenge ought to always take our breath away, we who follow Jesus. Because we've been reminded by Christ that vengeance is the Lord's, but also that we are to love our enemies. Have you ever considered why? Because no matter what they have done, they too have been made in the image of God, and there is always the possibility, no matter how remote, the grace will succeed in some way in penetrating the heart of one who may even be so close to irredeemable that not even a micron-wide bit of grace could slide in, but it might. And so God's people have to remain vigilant for that opportunity to love even the most unlovable. One could even argue that the call to love our enemies simply reflects God's love for us. The problem is, of course, we don't see ourselves as enemies of God, do we? We don't believe that we would ever choose to be God's enemy. We would never refuse to do God's bidding. Yet we often refuse to seek to feed God's children, to clothe them, care for them, give them shelter, open our lives to them, even listen to them, and if needed, learn to speak their language so we can communicate God's love with them. As it turns out, the Apostle Paul says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as sinners, we live at cross purposes from God. We often refuse to be the people God intends. We don't even see how God is providing protection and provision for us. And we fail miserably to be thankful, just as Nabal did. You see, Nabal in his arrogance didn't get it. He thought he was amazing. But unbeknownst to Nabal, God was providing for him through David. And Nabal refused or was blinded to see the total destruction that was about to descend on his family. Imagine the nightmare where every single husband, son, father, and uncle is dead, and the flocks are scattered and the tents are destroyed, and all that is left is the women and children with nothing. Nabal couldn't see it, but Abigail could. She knew her husband, and she saw David's protection for what it was. She knew that her husband's rudeness was fatal, and she decided to act. It had to be a terrifying ride out to the army of David, not knowing what David's response would be. But she decided that taking a risk was worth saving the lives of many, including her own. Maybe God would see her gesture for the act of courage and faith she intended it to be, and maybe David would too. And David did, and made clear that Abigail's taking a risk for peace resulted in not only saving lives, but also saving David's reputation. Taking risks is hard, it's scary, but it's God's work, and we are called to be peacemakers. In what situation are you called today to take risks and be the peacemaker God intended you to be? Amen. Thank you so much, folks, for stopping by and listening to our podcast. If you have questions, you can get a hold of us at otisvillepress@hvc.rr.com or at our website, www.otisvillepress.org. Again, thanks for being here.